And how many came from any old church? Great. What we want to do, it's interesting how what people make of this. Some people call it a crossover service because you're like crossing from one year into the other. So our goal tonight is to make it to 1 minute past midnight, and then we will have done the crossover. But it's just whatever anybody else is doing, where whatever party they're at or TV program they're watching, for me, there's nothing I would rather do than actually to be with God's people, reflecting on the year with a grateful heart and offering my life to God afresh for the coming year. And so that's really what it's all about. Jo is my wife here, and she might say something, but you never quite know. But I'm hoping, I'm hopeful. But we were talking about a story in 2 Chronicles where King Solomon dedicates the temple. And there were 3 elements of what he did. And that's what we want to do tonight, really. One was thanksgiving. The second one was praise. And the third one was offering or dedication. They dedicated the temple. They dedicated their lives. So we want to have a time where we can just give thanks to God. We want to have a time when we can praise him. And then we want to have a time when we can offer our lives afresh to him. Now, the other thing that's happened this evening, which happened last year as well, is that we don't have a musician. So that means that you are all the musicians. The Bible says we make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's all that's required. I can sing in tune, I think. But just in case I can't, where's Bola gone? Hiding by the radiator. Drink up, sister, because we're going to need you. So let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. That you have given him to us to help us with everything. And Lord, tonight we need the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to our hearts, to speak to our hearts, to help us to offer our lives to you afresh. So we really just call upon your name, Lord Jesus. Would you come and presence yourself among us, Lord? Would you speak to us? Would you guide us? Would you refresh us? Would you do everything that we cannot do ourselves? In Jesus' name. So, I thought to start with, to do with Thanksgiving, that we could just think really about what we're really grateful for. It's so good to give thanks to the Lord, isn't it? And often when in my daily walk with God, you know, I think about all the natural things. Things like the bed I'm sleeping in, the food I'm eating, those things. And start to give thanks for those things. And then there are the spiritual things, aren't there? That Jesus died for my sins. He gave me the Holy Spirit. And all that kind of thing. And there may be special things that you're grateful for tonight. And I just want us to just think for a moment, what are you really grateful for this year? What's meant something to you this year? And then maybe I could just ask you if someone would like to actually say thank you to God, to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm going to come around with the microphone and we're just going to just thank God for different things in our lives. I think we're going to start with...
Just want to share a thought and then I think we'll sing again. So Bola, don't disappear.
Yeah, sit down.
Sit down for a moment. I was very struck about this thing of our great need to give thanks. Spoke to someone this morning who said to me, please can we every week this year, this coming year, can we think of 2 things? Every week can you ask me to think of 2 things that I want to give thanks, that I need to give thanks for? And so we agreed we would do that. And I spoke to someone later on today who's not a Christian and who said to me, I don't have anything to be thankful for. So I started to go through the things, the food, and Where did you sleep last night? The clothes you're wearing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there are some things. There are some things that I should be grateful for. And that God wants this flow of thanksgiving in our hearts, whatever our circumstances. And then in that wonderful bit that Nick talked about where Solomon's dedicating the temple, they give this great thanks to God for his mercy and all that he's given. And then they begin to praise him. So we thought it would be good, I'm not sure what we're going to sing, but to really, really praise him. The Bible says that God is great and he should be greatly praised. And we do not have a clue how much he should be praised. One day we're going to understand this, but at the moment our sight is very poor. But wow, he should be praised. And so I'm just going to read one verse. This is from another king. This is King Hezekiah. And he said this. It's just one verse. And he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things. 6 things in one verse. It's only a sentence that we should praise him for. So it's King Hezekiah. It says, King Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. And he said this, Lord, Jehovah, Almighty, Elohim, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you alone are God, ruling over all the kingdoms of the earth, for you have made the heaven and the earth. So he's saying, Lord Almighty, which is Jehovah. Some of the translations say that the God of heaven's armies, mighty God, almighty God. Then he says, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim. We don't even know what these things mean, but beyond all that we understand on earth, he is there in heaven, enthroned above these angels. You alone are God. This is what he's saying to him. You alone are God, and you are ruling. You are ruling right now over all the kingdoms of the earth, ruling over the UK, you know, ruling over Europe, ruling over Russia, ruling over all of the nations of the earth. Right now, the Bible says, God is ruling over the kingdoms of the earth. And then it says, for you made the heavens and the earth. So I just thought it'd be great to take our eyes off the microscope of our lives, all the stuff, and we've all got stuff, and lift up our eyes out towards him, take up the telescope instead of the microscope and say, I'm turning my eyes to you right in the midst of all the muddle of our stuff, our families, our challenges, because you are Lord Almighty, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim. You alone are God. You are ruling over all the kingdoms of the earth, for you have made the heaven and the earth. So it'd be great just to lift up our eyes towards him. I don't know, what are we going to sing? Are we going to...
I thought it would be good this evening just to pray for one another. Do you want to sit down just for a moment? I know that we don't all know each other very well. And there's people from different churches, but it's good to pray for one another, isn't it? And we just sang about, you know, the name of Jesus being such a powerful name. And God's plan is always he's reaching out in his mercy and in his love. I wonder whether you'd like to just think about one thing that you're burdened by as you go into the new year. And I could give you a few. and we all carry these things, don't we? But just before we go on, I just thought it would be good just if we could just maybe turn around maybe in 2s and 3s, 4s and 5s and just pray maybe for, just share just one thing that you would like somebody to pray for you, and just quickly pray that for them. I just wanted to share just a few little thoughts. Maybe really just one or two thoughts from Romans 12, verse 1. I don't know if you've got it, Phil, there. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. Why don't we just say this all together? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Amen. And as we just kind of think about next year, you know, the challenges that we face, I love this thing here, in view of God's mercy. God doesn't just ask us to offer our lives to him, but in view of his mercy. And so this is Romans chapter 12, and from Romans 1 to 11, you've had these amazing chapters about God's grace and his kindness, about how we need his forgiveness as sinners, how God sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins, that if we would put our trust in him, we would be forgiven, that we would receive the gift of eternal life. Romans talks about how God then provided the power of the Holy Spirit. It says we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So he saves us from our sin. He empowers us by the Holy Spirit. In those verses, we get that amazing little verse that in all things, God is working together for good. Everything in our lives, for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. There are amazing things in Romans 1 to 12. So that actually when we get to chapter 12, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And one thing that, you know, I want to do, I hope that many of us want to do, is to actually say to God, I'm yours for 2023, whatever you want to do with my life. And that's a bold thing to say, isn't it? I'm not sure I can really say that honestly and sincerely, but I want to be able to say that. You can have my life. Offer ourselves, our time, our plans, our possessions. But there's one thing in particular that as I was thinking about this today, that also God wants, maybe more than anything else, is he wants our affections. He wants our affections. It goes on and it says in Romans 12 and verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so it's saying that we don't want to just become like everybody else wants us to be, but we can be transformed, we can be changed. And that word actually means transfigured, like when Jesus was completely transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. I think the Greek word is metamorphoso, which we get metamorphosis from, you know, the chrysalis turning into the butterfly. It's like a complete change into something different. And what God wants us to become is to become like Jesus. His nature, his kindness, his patience, his mercy, his power. He wants us to become like his son. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I heard somebody once say that in order for our minds to be renewed, when a new thought comes, an old thought has to die for us to think differently. But this word, the renewal of your mind, it actually means more than that. It means, if you look up the definition, it means, I think the word is nous, where we get like a knowledge from. But it means understanding or feelings, affection, understanding and affection. Affection. So God wants us to be transformed by the change of our affections. Colossians 3 verse 2 says this, set your affection on things above, not on the things below. I was thinking about a child that, you know, you could give a child a 50p, a nice big coin, couldn't you? And if they didn't know any better and you offered them a pound, they'd think, I'm not going to let go of that 50p. I'm going to hang on to it because I don't want that small, like, brass-looking thing. They want the shiny 50p. But in order to get the pound, we've got to let go of the 50p. And we have to, this evening, both let go and then invite Jesus into our lives afresh. I've been reading recently an old author called Henry Scougal. And he wrote a book which really transformed this country. It prepared the country for revival. And many of the people who were used in the 18th, 19th century were touched by his writings. He died very young, actually, but he seemed to have met God in a remarkable way. And just going to read you a couple of things that he said. First of all, he said, "The soul of man possesses a raging and inextinguishable thirst, always reaching for one object or another, thinking that it will bring happiness." That we've all got this thing inside us that, you know, we're desperate to fill that hole with something, but normally we reach for the wrong things, don't we? We think they'll make us happy, and we set our affections on them. It could be all sorts of things. We've got this big hole inside us that will be filled by something. I'm going to read on here. We haven't got the overhead for this, but he said, if our soul was torn from the world and all the bewitching enjoyments under the sun, it would quickly search after some higher and more excellent object to satisfy its passionate and persistent cravings. In other words, if we ripped out all the enjoyments that we get from this world, our soul is of a nature that it will look for something better. And no longer being dazzled with glittering vanities, it would cling to that supreme and all-sufficient good, where it would discover incredible beauty and sweetness that would charm and overpower all its affections. That if we only knew how sweet and how good God is, the charm of this world would be overpowered. And then he said this, and I think Phil's got the overhead for this. "The love of the world and the love of God are like the scales of a balance. As the one falls, the other rises." That's very interesting, isn't it? Can you relate to that? The love of this world and the love of God are like scales of a balance. As the one falls, the other rises. You know, Christmas is a funny time, isn't it? But it's actually, among other things, I love Christmas. I love the message. I love Christmas Day. I love the turkey. I even love the Brussels sprouts. But I think what I don't really enjoy is the overindulgence. Inevitably, we get a lot of food in at Christmas. We always overbuy, and then people give you more and more chocolates and biscuits and mince pies, and you kind of feel like an obligation to eat them. You ever felt that? You think, okay, January the 1st is the deadline, so we're going to eat everything until then, and you're sort of filling yourself. And yeah, it's not very satisfying, really, is it? And yet we kind of do this, that we fill ourselves with other things. And the love of God, you know, on the scales falls down. Our affection for God, our desire for him. And maybe there are some of us here this evening who've lost that desire to pray. They've lost their love of the Bible. They've lost that first love. And I think God is asking us to actually let him lessen those affections of the world on one side, whatever those things are. There are always things in my life, and usually they're things that I put to one side and then they come back again. It's very powerful, isn't it? It's like Google said, there's a raging and inextinguishable thirst. And then he said, "When our natural inclinations run our lives and self is exalted in our soul, our spiritual life lacks conviction and becomes weak." We become weak spiritually. Anybody here feel weaker than they think they should spiritually? I'm putting my own hand up. And it's one of the things in the new year I'm praying for, is that God will refresh and renew that spiritual life. And he said, "When earthly objects wither away and lose their beauty, and the soul begins to lose its passion and interest in pursuing them, the seeds of grace take root, and the divine life begins to flourish and prevail." As those things we set our affections on begin to weaken, the seeds of grace grow in our hearts. So what has become too important, we have to let it go. We have to let it go. We're going to sing in a moment, I Surrender All. Do you know that one? Do you remember that one? Can we get the words up, Phil? Just look at this before we sing this, because we want to sing this evening as a prayer, don't we? We're going to finish with an African song. Is that right, Bola? I have no idea what this is, but I'm trusting Bola and Bookie and Jesus that it's going to be good, because that's what we're going to finish on at when we get to midnight. But we're going to sing this one first, all right? All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Can we all say that? All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Now, as we're saying that, are you thinking, I'm not sure about this. All to Jesus I surrender. You know, we can say, Lord, I want to surrender my all to you. You can sing your own words through the song. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. To love him, we're going to have to trust him, aren't we, with our lives, and that he will give back more than he takes away. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. The next one, Phil. I surrender all. Shall we say that together? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all. Shall we stand up and sing this? It kind of gets better as you sing it.